As I was talking earlier with the kids there, we do live in a society full of rules. There are physical rules, there are economic rules, there are social rules, ethical rules, and there are even spiritual rules that we as Christians need to be abiding by. And in many cases, as I spoke with the kids, for instance, dry clean only. If we don't dry clean only, what do we end up with? Shrunken clothing that's worthless and we can't wear. And there are reasons why we have to abide by the rules, not only spiritually, but also in society. It makes for a better society. It makes for a safer and secure world that we live in. But it also benefits us as we do so. Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and as he began to wrap up his message there, he said some interesting things that have stuck with many people ever since, believers and unbelievers alike. And our text today reflects these words, which many have come to know as the Golden Rule. Now, we find these words in two different places, in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, we find it in the context of Jesus teaching on the practices of kingdom life regarding judging others. In Luke's Gospel, it's in the context of Jesus teaching on the characteristic of discipleship. Disciples, one being love for their enemies. Therefore, as disciples of Jesus Christ, living the kingdom life that he desires for us to live, we are to be living according to the Golden Rule. If one would ask, most anyone could tell you what the Golden Rule is. But sadly, I have found that many people think this is the way to heaven. I've asked many people if they are going to heaven, and sadly they've answered yes, and I ask them how they know, and they reply, I'm a good person, and I treat others fairly, and I follow the Golden Rule. So much for the theology of the world, because this is not what Jesus is teaching here. This is not why he said this. In fact, if one would ask Jesus what the Golden Rule is, he would probably respond, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this was, in fact, his response to the religious leaders when they asked him which of the commandments was the greatest. But he also added to it, and he said, the second is also like the first. They are one. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the fact that Jesus taught it here and then referred to it later when they confronted him tells us that this is important and we need to pay attention to it. First of all, we ask, why was this so important to Jesus? And why is it important to us today? First of all, it's important because it's the law. It is the rule. Jesus is referring to the Levitical law that was given to Moses in Leviticus 19 by God, in which God says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. James refers to it in James chapter 2 in this way. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. So James refers to this as the royal law. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. All the commandments, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not covet, and the others, these are all summed up in this one rule. He said, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. But we have to remember, it is not love that saves us, and it's not the law that saves us. What happens when love is present, sin is absent. The Bible teaches love covers a multitude of sins. When love and forgiveness is present, sin is absent. Paul wrote to the Galatians, you were called to freedom. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Because the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul said to them, if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. So first and foremost, it's important to us because it's the law, it's the rule that we are to abide by. And if we don't, we're going to be consumed in this life. Second of all, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus which commandment was the greatest, and he referred to these, and the teacher replied that Jesus was right, and that obeying these two commandments was more important than offerings and sacrifices. So of all of our sacrifices and our offerings, none compare to obedience to loving God and loving our neighbor. That's what Jesus was saying. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are more important, and nothing compares to them. So it's important to us because it was important to Jesus. It is the law, and it's more pleasing to God than sacrifices and offerings. To the Christian, the golden rule is the royal law of God. Now, let's look at the words that Jesus spoke here. So we go to the text. He was speaking in Luke's Gospel in the context of loving your enemies. And he says, I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone that asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. In the English Standard Version, it's translated, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. In the New American Standard Bible, it's translated, and just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. I think of that as I stand at the checkout counters while somebody's counting out money and taking a long time and I'm in a hurry. I need to remember, just as I want people to treat me, I need to treat them in the same way. The New Living Translation says, do for others as you would like them to do for you. Now, first we see that this is in a positive form of the rule. In other religions, this is stated negatively. It's stated as, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. But here, Jesus states it in the positive form. Jesus is saying in his teaching here, do to others as you would have them do to you. When we look at it in the negative as don't do, we soon find ourselves doing nothing for anyone. We can say, well, I wouldn't expect it of them, so they probably don't expect it of me. So I'm not going to do that. It might make them uncomfortable. Instead, Jesus says, do to others, not don't do to others. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said we are to do all the good we can, in all the places we can, to all the people we can, in all the ways we can, and we are to do no harm. But notice here that it doesn't say, do to others what they would do to you. That's sadly the attitude that the world has taken so much. Do to others as they would do to you. We say, well, they wouldn't do it for me. Or if it was them, they'd be treating me this way, so I'm going to treat them that way. That's not what we're to do. When we do that, we twist it to mean our own unwilling and unloving actions. What Jesus is saying is, if you would like it done to you, then do it to others. And in Matthew 7:12, he says the same thing. He says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. He says, in everything, which means there are no excuses, no revenge, no list of things that the others did not do for you, no assuming that they wouldn't do it for you. In everything. This is a command from Jesus that we must follow if we want to live up to the standards that Jesus Christ sets before us. We should inscribe it on our hearts so that it controls our very being and our actions. Now, can we at once fulfill this command? And the answer is no. Because we are not powerful too. Our sinful nature jumps in there, causes us to flare up with revenge and resentment and all kinds of things. But we must try, because by trying, we find it lays on us a hard task doing for others. And in trying, we find that we need help to fulfill this heavenly task. And our helper is Jesus Christ. And as Christ helps us fulfill the task, we are receivers of so much blessing. We receive the sanctifying grace of God. If you don't know what that big word means, it means the Holy Spirit lifting us up, giving us strength, giving us love, giving us compassion, helping us to grow into that likeness of Jesus Christ. When we say, I'm going to do this, and we try, we receive the sanctifying grace of God. We receive the joy of knowing that we have served the Master and fulfilled His command. And we receive the approval of God in the words, well done, good and faithful servant, because we have followed His law, or His royal law. It's not an impossible mission for us. By the gracious help of God and by strict self-discipline, we will fulfill what is summed up in the Law and the Prophets. And here, folks, is where disciples of Jesus Christ are different from the world. The world knows this as the golden rule, but they don't know the true reason that they should follow it. As to the reason why they should do it, the world normally answers, because it makes me a good person. The Christian would answer, because it's God's law, Jesus commands it, and God is pleased by it. It's obedience. That's what it is. And practicing the royal law says something about us. We're different. We're Christians. We're followers of Jesus Christ. But we have to remember what the Bible teaches as to why we should practice it. Otherwise, it becomes a humanistic, man-centered duty, not obedience to God. And this is what's so sad. When we say we do it because it makes me a good person and it's the right thing to do, it becomes about us instead of about giving the glory to God. We follow the golden rule because Jesus commands us to, and it's pleasing to God. We follow it in obedience to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, regardless of how it makes us look. It's all about how it makes Him look. And they say, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to follow Him? That person over there hurts you. Why would you want to treat them with love and compassion? Because Jesus commands it, it's pleasing to God, and that's how I would want them to treat me. We practice it because it's God's law, which He spoke to Moses and the prophets. Moses wrote it down, and many prophets since have rebuked God's people for not following God's law. That's why they went into a captivity, because they turned away from God's royal laws. But the prophet's message was, turn back to God and repent, which meant turning back to His ways and His laws. And it's only when people did turn back to God and follow His laws that there was peace and God blessed them. Time after time after time, it's in here, folks. Time after time after time, it's in our lives. We find it to be true. So what God's laws and the prophets all spoke of was showing love to others just as we would want them to show love to us. It's not about being a moral, good, upstanding citizen. It's about being a follower, an obedient follower of Jesus Christ is what the golden rule is about. And sadly, some people think that's the gospel. When I ask them, what is the gospel? They say, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's not true, folks. That is not true. That's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what Jesus Christ said. Imagine what our world would be like if everyone followed God's laws. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that our world's a mess. in sad shape. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And the reason is simple. We're not following God's laws or listening to the prophets. People say it's not relevant anymore. That's just an old history book. It's not relevant. Isn't it? Is Jesus Christ dead? Is God non-existent? Did he die at some point? You're never going to convince me of that. Because Jesus Christ is a living Savior that lives in here and convinces me every day he is alive. We're doing instead what Paul described as biting and devouring one another. Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. You've got the Democrats biting and devouring at the Republicans biting and devouring at the Democrats. This is right, this is wrong, and the press blows everything out of proportion, and we sit there and we begin to argue among ourselves. We get caught up in this quagmire, this muddy mess. One group set the biting and devouring another group. We're at each other's heels, like trying to get the best of one another. I like the one word here in the text, the word do. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The King James Version says, do ye. Plainly put, you do. You do. The word do means to perform an action. So Jesus is not just telling us that we should do for others, but he is in fact telling us what we should do for others. And that is what we would want them to do for us. There's a time for praying, but there's a time for doing for others. And if we as Christians don't do, folks, who will do? But we need to remember, with Christ, we can do all things. And when we say, what can I do? How can I help? Just imagine yourself in their position. What would you want done? What would mean the most to you if you were in their shoes, in their situation? And then it's simple. Do to others what you would have them do to you. It's not some deep philosophical reasoning or thought or teaching. It's simple. We look at the faces. We look at the other people. We look at the hurting world. We say, what can I do? And we say, well, what would I want them to do for me if I was in their shoes? And Jesus says, do to them as you would have them do to you. Let's pray.